Voices of VR podcast. Hello, my name is Kent Bai, and welcome to the Voices of VR podcast. It's a podcast that looks at the structures and forms of immersive storytelling and the future of spatial computing. You can support the podcast at patreon.com/voicesofvr. So, continuing my coverage of IFA DocLab 2025, today's episode is with a really amazing piece called Under the Same Sky, which ended up winning the special jury mention runner-up prize at IFA DocLab 2025 for immersive nonfiction. So this is a 360 video that's shot in the context of Gaza and is kind of bearing witness to the humanitarian crisis and genocide that's happening there in Gaza. So this is a really powerful piece that is shot by a journalist there on site, Sami, and then Khalil is from Syria and getting these dispatches and then kind of weaving together this 38-minute documentary where you're able to kind of bear witness to just this, the horrors of the humanitarian crisis that's there in Gaza. And it's a real historical document and allows you to bear witness to what's happening there above and beyond what you're seeing on your social media feeds, which can sometimes be somewhat decontextualized and not have a deeper story or history that's involved with that. So we're covering all that and more on today's episode of the Voices of VR podcast. So this interview with the Under the Same Sky team of Sami, Khalil, and Cleo happened on Saturday, November 15th, 2025 at IFA DocLab in Amsterdam, Netherlands. So with that, let's go ahead and dive right in.
Hi, I'm Khalil Ashawi. I'm a visual journalist. I have an initiative called the Frontline in Focus XR. We started as Frontline in Focus in 2016. And in 2020, we started thinking on to introduce stories in new way. So I like to work in VR. So we start Frontline Focus XR. And in 2020, we won Google News Initiative. So it gave us a huge support to start with our new project. And since then, we produced more than 300 stories in VR. All of them is between 3 minutes till 8-9 minutes maximum. So the first long story for us, it's our film, new film, Under the Same Sky from Gaza. And we continue with our production in VR and AR also.
My name is Hayel Khalaf. I am the public relations and I do also project coordination with the Under the Same Sky team and Frontline in Focus XR as well.
Nice. And maybe you could also introduce yourself and what you do in the realm of VR.
إذا فيك تعرف عن حالك, أنت مين وعن شغلك وكيف اشتغلت وقدي صالك عم تشتغل بهذا المجال. Okay.
أنا سامي السلطان, مصور صحفي من غزة. اشتغلت في مجال التصوير الصحفي من 2015. غطيت الحرب الأخيرة بال 360 درجة. كمل في شيء.
Okay. I will later translate. Okay, he said my name is Sami Sultan. He's a photojournalist and he's been doing photojournalism since 2015. And he's covered the recent, most recent war in Gaza in its entirety.
And then maybe you could each give a bit more context as to your background and then journey into working with immersive media.
I'm a study journalist in Syria. So I graduated in 2006. And then we started as a journalist. I'm a photographer originally. But after that, I started to take a video. And then we start notice that there's a new kind of media called the VR, and I see there's also an AR, so I love AR a lot. Then we bring a new camera in VR. It's a small one. It's connected with the mobile. It's our first VR we captured. We captured like something related to agriculture and something related to natural, but we can't imagine that we will introduce a story in war zone via VR. So we start thinking, okay, let's try and see what happened. So we practice on that things. We don't know anything about VR and how to editing for VR. Also, it's a huge things to edit for VR. So we watch a lot of YouTube videos And also we see how the cameras deal with the program and editing and everything. Then we start produce our stories, and after that we start to try with a new way to introduce and present the stories. So sometimes we make an interactive story. So if you go to our website, you will see VR story, AR story, and interactive story. In interactive story, sometimes we mix between VR and AR. So it's so hard. By the time you will be expert in that things. And for editing, it's so hard to editing for VR because you can't see what you are doing, like when we editing for a normal video. So you should edit and try, and after that, if there's any mistake, you back to the editor to program, edit again, and back it to put it inside the VR headset. So it's a long story with Under the Same Sky. It takes from us between writing script and choosing the material, everything. It's like 9 months of post-production. The hardest thing is the editing, because it takes long time. But I think in a new headset, it's make it easier, especially with, I think, Apple, we can edit our stuff inside this headset. So yeah, till now we are with Under the Same Sky, and now we are starting on working on a new movie. It's a documentary from Syria. So we work on this documentary on both sides, VR and normal way.
And yeah, maybe a bit more context as to your background and your journey into working in journalism and with VR equipment as well.
إذا فيك تحكي شوي عن الخلفيات تبعك باللي علاقة بالصحافة وأنت كيف بلشت بمجال الـ VR الـ Virtual Reality وتصوير الـ 360 وهذا الحكي؟
بلشت في مجال الصحافة ب 2015 بغطي الأحداث اللي بتصير بغزة الواحد يظهر جرائم الاحتلال الإسرائيلي بلشت في الـ
أوكي Okay, he started working in journalism since 2015, covering all of the events that happened in Gaza and trying to expose all of the crimes that is committed by the Israeli occupation.
غطيت لكتير وكالات دولية في قطاع غزة وصلنا صورة الناس والحروب المتعددة والأحداث الكتير في قطاع غزة.
He tried to cover all of the events that happened in Gaza, the suffer of the people that are living in Gaza under the Israeli occupation, and the multiple wars that happened during that time.
بلشت 360 درجة في VR بحرب الأخيرة على قطاع غزة. بلشت مترجمها شاكمل.
Okay, he started using the VR and the 360 cameras during the recent war in Gaza. Yeah.
سبب اتخاذي لتغطية الحرب ب 360 درجة بالفي آر كانت بسبب الادعاءات الإسرائيلية والمنظمات الصهيونية بأنه هذه الأحداث أو الجرائم اللي بترتكبها الجيش الإسرائيلي في جزء منها بتم تلفيق أو بتم تمثيل المشاهد ما بتكون حقيقية فاخترت أنه يكون 360 درجة أنه أنت تعيش المشهد بنفسك أمام الكاميرا وخلف الكاميرا
So he started using the VR and the 360 filming style to debunk the Israeli story that what is happening behind the camera is not what is happening in front of the camera. They were kind of saying that there is like, it's all staged, it's all actors, there is nothing of that nature is happening on the ground. But with the 360 and the VR, you can capture both the front and the back of the scene at the same time. So this is kind of debunking the Israeli story.
حاولت أوصل الصورة للعالم إنه إحنا كلنا نفس تحت هذه السماء ولكن هناك أماكن تعيش بسلام وأمان وهناك غزة تباد وتقتل وتجوع تقتل بجميع الأساليب في بالقتل بالدمار بالتجويع بكل هذه الأساليب حبينا نوصل هذه الرسالة الناس تشوف مباشر تعيش الحدث بتوقع إنه قدرت أنقل جزء من الحقيقة لا يتجاوز 5%
In Under the Same Sky, he tried to deliver the message that we are living under the same sky, but you have some places in the world that have a normal life, as in people go to work, go to schools, it's fine, but there is Gaza, where you have the mass killing, the starvation, and all of the atrocities that happened, all of the crimes that happened in Gaza. And he tried to do his best to deliver the right message and the actual, accurate, visual reality of what's happening in Gaza, although he thinks that it's only covering 5 or 10% of the actual events that happened during the recent war. Yeah.
في أغلب المشاهد اللي في الفيلم كنت كصحفي طبيعي أن أرتدي درع الصحافة، ولكن لأنه كانوا بيستهدفونا بشكل مباشر كنت أشرط من هذا الدرع. كنت بتعامل مع صديقي والمخرج خليل أنه أنا يوميا ببعث له مادة الـ VR، لأنه أنا ما كنت متوقع أنه أنا اليوم التالي أبقى على قيد الحياة. فكنت تمام.
Okay. So it's mandatory to wear the flak jacket and the helmet to go and film, but sometimes he had to take them off because they were targeted by the Israeli occupation. They targeted and killed journalists because of that. So he used to take them off sometimes and go, and he was also used to coordinate with Khalil and the team to send the material on a daily basis because he was not guaranteeing for him to stay alive for the next day. Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, and so maybe you could give a bit more context for how Under the Same Sky began.
Okay, while we are working on VR story, so when everything happened in Gaza, so we decide, okay, we should have footage from there because we are produce a lot of story in VR style, but we don't have anyone inside Gaza and we don't have any footage from there. So me and team start asking, okay, let's do some VR and put it in our social media. It start just for social media and we should be there. So I asked my friend about a videographer, do you know anyone inside Gaza so he can take footage for us? He said, okay, there's a Sami. So I contacted Sami, and at the beginning we asked him to, do you have a 360 camera? He said, no. So I told him, can you ask about that? He said, okay. So it takes from us 1.5 months to bring camera because it's impossible to find the 360 camera inside Gaza. And there's a lane between north and south Gaza. No one can cross this lane. So he's going in a danger way to bring a camera from the north to the south. And so after 1.5 months, we have a camera finally. And he starts filming for us. At the beginning, we told him, okay, filming everything. We need just footage to see what's happened there. So he started filming in destruction and camps, how the people flee from their home, houses, everything. So we published 2 or 3 times on our platform. And after that, when we see it, this is huge. We shouldn't stay on just publishing something for social media. So I decide to go ahead with that movie. So I told him, you should go and make an interview with the people to see what we can get. So he make first interview, second interview. It's good for us. So I told him, okay, let's follow one person in his life. So we follow Hanin Sharar. She's a journalist. I think you saw her in her house and how we deal with her life. And after that, we have an interview with Walda Hadouh. We have also an interview with Sami's friend. So after we have all this material, we decide, okay, Sami, he said, okay, I should go out of Gaza because it's impossible to stay here. They would kill me. So I told him, okay, let's take a last footage while you are crossing border to Egypt. But unfortunately, when he contacted with us after 1 week, he disappeared for 1 week. And after that, he said, hi, I'm back. I told him, how are you? How is everything with you? He said, okay, I'm safe. I'm in Egypt. But they stole everything from me on border, even the camera. So we don't have any footage. I filmed on border, but unfortunately, I don't have anything. So thank God he's safe now and with us. And we start working on script, everything. And at the end, you see Under the Same Sky.
So just a quick clarification, he was able to get all the footage out, or the footage was confiscated? Because we're seeing the footage, so I'm just trying to...
Yeah, he sent the footage day by day for us. Okay. But we're talking about last day when he going out from crossing border from Gaza to Egypt. They stolen his camera, all stuff. So we don't have this day. It's good to see Sammy's cross to end the story here.
Oh, okay. So the last day of footage was confiscated, but okay.
The Israeli army took all of the equipment, all of his cameras, his hard drives, his 360 camera, everything. Equipment worth a lot of money and a lot of material inside. It's all gone. They took it from him.
But they were able to preserve at least what we're seeing in the film, but also daily transmissions of things. Okay. And so there's a line that you wrote around how the environment tells a story. And so I'm really struck by how much having a camera there, that the space is telling much broader story. So I guess a question for Sammy is around the way that the environment is telling the story and how he's able to use VR to capture parts of the environment to tell a larger story of what's happening in Gaza. And just curious to hear some of his thoughts and reflections of using VR as a medium to capture that story of the environment.
بده يسألك عن إنه أنت برأيك شو كان تأثير البيئة المحيطة اللي كانت عايشين أنتوا بغزة شو كان تأثيرها على الفيلم بشكل عام وشو رأيك إنه هي كانت الصورة اللي حاولت تنقلها أنت عن طريق استخدام الفي آر شو رأيك كان تأثير الفي آر على هي البيئة وكيف نقل صورة البيئة اللي كانوا العالم عايشينها بغزة عن طريق الفي آر أنت هل يا ترى الفي آر ساعد بنقل هاي الصورة بصورة هاي البيئة بصورة أفضل أو لا؟
أول إشي الفي آر البيئة اللي كنا عايشين فيها يعني مهما صورت بالفي آر ومهما أخذت لو ساعات وأيام مش حقدر أعبر عن جزء بسيط من اللي كنا بنعيشه بغزة.
Okay, so he's saying that no matter what you use, either VR or any other kind of filming equipment, it will not capture 100% the environment that we were used to live in Gaza. Yeah.
طبيعة برضو البيئة اللي كنا عايشين فيها. أنا كنت بصور الفي آر وبغطي الأحداث الصحفية. أنا حد مهدد بالقتل من الجيش الإسرائيلي ومهدد بعيلتي. كمان شغلي أنا بغطي الأحداث هذه بالفي آر وأنا إنسان جعان زي أي إنسان بغزة.
He said he used to cover these stories, the environment and everything else using VR and other kind of filming equipment. And he was threatened by the Israeli army. They threatened him against his life and his family's life as well. And he was also, as anybody else in Gaza, was also hungry and looking for food, looking to feed his family at the same time. Yeah.
تأثير الفي آر كان بنسبة كبيرة إنه أنت أول شغلة بتنفي الرواية الإسرائيلية إنه في أي جزء من الأحداث اللي بتصير بغزة إنها أشياء مفبركة لأنه أنت بتضعب المشهد أنت شايف يمين الكاميرا وشمالها وأمامها وخلفها.
He said using VR was very helpful to debunk the Israeli story that it's fabricated, the story that the journalism is showing is fabricated. The Israeli army used to say they are the most ethical army in the world the whole time. But VR shows you the front, the back, the right, and the left of the scene. So you basically debunk the entire story that the Israeli army is saying it's fabricated.
في الفي آر كان هدفي في التغطية أنها تصل لكل العالم. هدفي الأول والأخير أنه العالم يتدخل ويقفل الإبادة اللي بتصير بقطاع غزة ونحافظ على أرواح الناس المدنيين والأطفال اللي بتموت بغزة.
His main goal and aim by using VR is to deliver the message that the people of Gaza are being killed and starved to death, and he was hoping that there will be some kind of an intervention to stop this mass killing and mass atrocities that were happening there.
بالنهاية الآن أنا موجود في مهرجان IDFA في أمستردام. لحتى الآن أنا مش مصدق إنه أنا قدرت أضلني على قيد الحياة وإنه أنا عايش لحتى الآن. برضو المفارقة إنك بتشوف الناس عايشة هان والمهرجان والحياة الطبيعية مقابل الناس اللي بغزة اللي اليوم بيغرقوا بسبب الأمطار. إشي فارقة ما بين الحياة هون وهون بنفس مسمى الفيلم إنه إحنا تحت نفس هذه السماء فإشي صعب وقاسي علي جدا.
He said, now I am in IDFA. It's kind of a make-believe thing for me. I still can't believe that I am here. I wake up every day and just look at the sky and look at the place and can't believe that I am in Amsterdam. At the same time, you had the people in Gaza. It was raining in the last couple of days and they're being drowned in the... They're being like kind of a lot of flash floods and another kind of flooding for the tents and the camps in Gaza. And this is the whole idea of the movie, is under the same sky, because I am now in Amsterdam and living kind of an okay, normal life, and people in Gaza are still suffering from the same thing that they were suffering from in the last few years. So it's kind of a very difficult thing for him to be living in this like kind of reality, while he knows in the back of his head that the people in Gaza are still suffering. Yeah.
Yeah, and this is it's a really powerful piece that I just really was moved by, to have an opportunity to bear witness to the horrors of the trauma that's happening there. And, you know, I guess as you were trying to put it all together, I'm just curious around like the scripting and how to find the story or the narrative or the through line to sort of like, I don't know, just it seems like such an impossible thing to see and be there on site and bear witness to, but also to kind of like put it all in together into a story. I thought the piece was able to show quite a lot of different moments and scenes, and trying to show the full spectrum of all the different situation of what life is like there, but also all the different aftermath of these different attacks. And so, yeah, I'm just curious to hear the process of trying to whittle this down to a 38-minute experience that has so much of what's been happening there, to try to like tell the larger story of what's happening in Gaza.
Yeah, yesterday I was talking to someone and he told me how you work on this kind of piece. So it's like you taking a piece and make it upside down. So in the documentary or any film industry, they start with the writing script and they make it like storyboard, and after that they start filming. But here we are filming and everything came into you, and after that you start thinking, okay, how can I deal with that? How can I put it together, and how can I introduce everything to people to see it as I see it? So at the beginning, so I open the editing program and start with P-roll one by one and looking at it, and after that, okay, I start writing. So it takes me like 9 months to put one by one and write for every single shot we take it. So it's so hard. It's so tough to see these things every day for 9 months. And it's hard to say that you start to see these things, but I think people should see their things. So that's why I force myself to work on that things, even if it's hard for me and hard for anyone. But it's important to work in pieces like this one. So yeah, I work like that. I put the footage in the Premiere and I start writing script. And after that, I look from far to see how it was. So yeah, after that we have Under the Same Sky.
If I may add, we kind of were dealing with what we have, because Khalil had specific ideas of like what needs to be filmed and what do we want to capture, but also there is reality on the ground in Gaza. Like Sami could go to places in like a specific day, like a window opens and we're like, okay, you need to go right now, you need to film like 1, 2, 3, 4. Please be safe, take your helmet, take your flak jacket, go wear them, do as like, just avoid the situation if you don't think it's safe enough. So we kind of had to do what we wanted to do, but at the same time, we wanted to capture more, but we just couldn't do it because of the security conditions in Gaza, and it became impossible at some point to get more footage, to get more films, and also it became impossible for Sami and his family to stay in Gaza, so they had to leave at some point. So we had an idea, we captured almost all of it, but we missed some things because of the conditions in Gaza. Yeah.
Perfect. And so for Sami, as you're either responding to events or you're going to cover something. And so just curious to hear around the motivation for him to keep going out and doing that. So the story he's telling himself in order to the importance of what he was doing. So that's one part, but the other part of putting himself in harm's way, or at least, you know, going into these dangerous areas to capture the history. So just, you know, trying to get a sense of like what was motivating and what that was like. Yeah.
بدي أعرف أنت شو كنت كيف كنت تشجع حالك أنك تطلع تصور شو كان الدافع الأكبر لإلك أنك تطلع تصور بشكل يومي بغزة تطلع تركب سي هو شاف أنه أنت كنت دائما تركب السيارة وماشي وعم تفتر عم تصور فبدي أعرف أنه أنت شو كان دافعك أنت شو كان الشيء اللي بيحمسك وبيخليك تطلع أنك تطلع تصور كل يوم وتخاطر وترتكب هاي المخاطرة بحياتك يعني
من شغلي الصحفي ما قبل الحرب بلشت أعمل مع كتير وكالات فصار اسمي معروف ضمن الوكالات الصحفية غير شو بلشت الحرب على السوشيال ميديا صار عندي عدد فولورز كتير بيتابع الأحداث في مباشر من عبر منصة السوشيال ميديا
Through his journalism work before the war, many of the wires, like many of the news agencies, know him and know his work. So he felt motivated to keep doing that. And then also he had a big following on the social media platforms, and they were like following the stuff that he was filming and capturing. So that was another part of it.
كتير كانت أشوف عبر الصحف والقنوات العالمية روايات غير الرواية اللي موجودة بغزة اللي أنا عايشها طبيعي كانت كتير تجيني تساؤلات من كتير ناس موجودين خارج غزة عن الأحداث اللي بتصير بغزة وباخدوا رواية غير الرواية الحقيقية اللي بتصير
At the same time, he used to see a lot of stories on the news and social media that is not actually what was happening on the ground in Gaza. And many of his friends, relatives, people outside of Gaza were like reaching out to him and ask him if this is actually the reality on the ground or is it something different that is happening.
فكنت بطلع أصور الأحداث وأنقل الحقيقة كما هي أنه اللي بحدث في غزة هي إبادة جماعية هي تدمير لكل شيء تطهير عرق اللي بصير بغزة كل الاستهدافات والقصف اللي بصير لأماكن مدنية لمستشفيات لمنظمات أمم متحدة والأونوروا فكنت بنقل هذه الحقيقة زي ما هي بتفصيلها
So he wanted to show the actual picture of what's happening in Gaza, that is an actual genocide that is going on. He wanted to also show all of the atrocities and the crimes that the Israeli army is still doing in Gaza against civilians, bombing schools, bombing UN agencies and NGOs, international organizations, etc. So he wanted to show the actual photo of what's happening on the ground to debunk the story that the Israeli army used to say, yeah.
اللي كان بديني دافع انه انا اكمل واستمر في التغطيه برغم كل المخاطره انه الاشي اصبح اشي الزامي واجب وطني عليك انه انت صرت بتنقل الحقيقه صرت صوت الناس اللي بغزه صرت بتحاول انه بالشغلات اللي بتوثقها انه تخلي تدخل العالم لايقاف الحرب في غزه
Motivated him is he felt like he had a duty to actually deliver the message of the people of Gaza and show a true picture of what was happening.
Just move some steps over here.
Of what is happening on the ground in Gaza. And yeah, I think this is what he was saying. Yeah.
برضو في نقل المجاعة بقطاع غزة كنا بنحاول نوصل صورة للعالم انه ناس في فعليا اطفال ونساء وامهات ماتوا من الجوع فعليا انا احد من الناس كنت بطلع التغطية انا جعان انا كنت ابات وانا جعان فكنا بنحاول نوصل الرسالة للعالم ليتدخلوا ليقفوا الإبادة في الاكل والشرب
He also wanted to deliver and show that the actual picture of the famine that was happening in Gaza. Many women, children, and other civilians died of famine. He himself used to go to cover and take pictures and like do the film for the movie Hungry, and he would go back home and sleep, and he was still hungry. So he wanted to deliver that picture, like show that image, that people are actually starving to death in Gaza. There is famine ongoing, and the world should intervene to prevent this from happening.
كانت المسؤولية بتزيد كل ما بنصور طفل مات من الجوع هو مشهد قاسي جدا على أي إنسان أنك تشوف طفل مات من الجوع شاب مات من الجوع فكانت المسؤولية بتزيد لنوصل لكل المنظمات العالمية المجاعة اللي بتصير. صار بعض التدخلات، زادت المسؤولية من الميناء العائم، من الإنزالات الجوية، بلشت أنه أنت صورتك والفيديو بتبعك والشغلات اللي أنت بتصورها بتأثر في العالم، خصوصا أنه بتشوف أنت الجانب الثاني موجود المساعدات في كل أنحاء العالم بس الإسرائيليين منعين يفوتوها.
Yeah, he's saying that with every death of a child and a civilian because of the famine, the responsibility was mounting and becoming bigger on him and his fellow journalists to cover and deliver the whole picture. And then when they saw that there was actually airdrops and there is a humanitarian pier and they're like, that there is actually aid can get into Gaza, but the problem was the Israeli army was blocking aid from coming in. So they felt more responsibility of like showing what's actually happening in Gaza and delivering the message. So with the hope that more aid can come in and the famine will end.
صارت المسؤولية بتزيد لما أنت شفت إنه الأحداث اللي بتغطيها بتصل لكل العالم، تعمل تأثير في كل العالم، سواء أنا أو الزملاء الصحفيين. المسؤولية بلشت تزيد برضو لما بلشوا بتصفية الصحفيين بشكل رسمي، إنه أنت بتكمل الرسالة الإنسانية عشان تصل لكل العالم، فهي مسؤولية مهنية اجتماعية وطنية، صرت أنت صوت لغزة.
So the responsibility mounted more when they saw that their message is being delivered and people are actually seeing that content and seeing the stuff that they are capturing in Gaza. Also, the responsibility mounted more when the Israeli army started targeting journalists and they killed around 260 journalists were killed in Gaza during the most recent war. So they felt like there is a national مسؤولية وطنية واجتماعية
ومهنية.
There is a national social and professional duty upon him and all of his fellow journalists to cover the war in Gaza.
مسؤولية نهائية بالأخير صرنا لما صرنا صوت غزة. الناس أغلب الناس عرفت غزة بالحرب والدمار والموت. صرنا نحاول إنه نفرج للناس عبر منصاتنا أو عبر القنوات إنه غزة هي مدينة جميلة جدا ما قبل الحرب. الناس بتحب الحياة وبتحب كل إشي جميل في غزة. فإحنا حبينا نوصل للناس إنه غزة بتحب الحياة وما زلنا معنيين إنه غزة ترجع فيها الحياة والسلام.
The last responsibility they felt is like people with the idea of Gaza now in people's heads is like war and destruction and death. So we wanted to show people that Gaza used to be a beautiful place. Gazans love life and they want to live again and they want to rebuild again. So they wanted to show there is another side of Gaza. It's not only the thing that you see on TV that is war and destruction and death. It's also there is another side of it that used to be a lively and beautiful place before the war. Yeah.
Nice. And what have been some of the reactions to the piece here at DocLab?
This is the third time we present our film, but this is a huge one because it's in EDFA. So, yes, I saw a lot of reaction. People are really cry a lot. They ask us to go around the world to let people see what they saw. There is a lot of people can't continue watching movies, because they said, okay, it's so tough for us. And sometimes I think, okay, this is good things that I deliver the message. People start thinking of what happened, even if after 2 years and more than, I think, if we take in reality, more than 100,000 people killed. So the reaction, it's so important for us, but we don't need just reaction on crying, or we need the act on the ground to stop this genocide.
If I may add, the movie is graphic. It's heavy, it's a lot, but this is the reality. So if you want to hide away from that, you can do that, but you can also see it and reflect on it and do something about it. And we are getting a lot of questions from people like, what can we do? And I want to say that this is not our responsibility to tell you what to do. Like, there is a lot of things that you can do to support, to help, but I'm not going to go and stand on a platform and say, give money or, like, be an activist. This is up to every individual to decide what do they want to do, a reaction to that. As Khalil was saying, many people couldn't actually finish the film because they felt it's too much for them, but this is the reality. And we wanted to show it without any edits, without any hiding of what's going on, and also to debunk all of the stories that, as Sami was saying, this is fabricated, this is staged, it's not really what's happening on the ground. No, this is actually happening today, it happened yesterday, it might happen tomorrow, we hope not, but it might. Yeah.
Yeah, and the version that's showing here is, I saw it with English subtitles. Do you also have versions with Arabic?
We have an Arabic version. It's by my voice. We can bring it here. It's also here, but I think most of people here speak in English, so that's why we just stuck with this one. But we have, yeah, two versions, one in Arabic, one in English.
Okay. I was just asking because I was wanting to get Sami's reaction to the piece, I think the script helps to tie it all together. So just curious to hear some of your reactions of, you know, you lived through a lot of this being there on the ground, but I'm just curious what the experience of watching this VR film was like for you, going back to these moments, but also hearing the story that ties it all together.
بدي أعرف كيف كانت ردة فعلك أنت وقت اللي حضرت الفيلم لأول مرة وأنت اللي كنت عايش المشهد وأنت اللي صورت الفيلم وشفت باقي الناس اللي تصوروا وكل هيك فأنت كيف كانت ردة فعلك وقت اللي حضرت الفيلم أول مرة؟
ردة الفيلم كتير كانت صعبة خصوصاً إنه أنا كنت تارك غزة فتأثرت كتير وحسيت حالي إنه رجعت لغزة وشاهدت يعني رجعت بالزمن لكل المشاهد اللي وثقتها.
He said his reaction and his take, it was very difficult on him to rewatch the movie again because it took him back in time and in place to all of the places and the people that he filmed while he was filming the movie. Yeah.
بكيت وبكيت بكيت بكيت كتير لأنه كنت في الفيلم عدد كبير من الصحفيين كانوا على قيد الحياة في الوقت الحالي تم قتلهم من الجيش الإسرائيلي وعدد من الأصدقاء وعدد من العائلة عندي كانوا موجودين في أثناء التخطيط لهذا الحدث فكل هذا ذكرتهم وكانت قاسية على قلبي أنه تشوف ناس أنت فرقتهم من الحياة كتير بتحبهم.
He's saying that he cried a lot when he watched the movie for the first time because many people he filmed, including family, friends, journalists, are dead now, killed by the Israeli army. So it was very difficult for him to see that and go back in time and live that moment again while his friends, his family, and his fellow journalists were alive. And now many of them are dead. Yeah.
رجع فيه كل الأشياء الصعبة اللي عشتها بغزة وبرغم أنه هذا الفيلم بتقديري ولا يتجاوز 5% من الواقع والحقيقة اللي في غزة.
It took him back to all of the difficult time that he used to live in Gaza, although this movie he thinks that it covers only 5 to 10% of the actual reality in Gaza. Yeah.
Yeah, and so as you're putting together the script and the narrative and to try to tell the story, just curious to hear a bit more around that process because there's a bit of telling the individual stories, there's reflecting on what you're seeing and experiencing in terms of the footage and commenting on things and then ending with some statistics that are, we see the destruction but trying to give a sense of the scope and scale of what's happening there in a way that is trying to punctuate the reality of what's happening there. But just curious to hear a bit more around your process of trying to tie together all these disparate moments that are happening that are being documented, but also to kind of weave it all together through the story that you're telling through the narration.
I think I told you something about we start like taking a footage from Sami at the beginning. So it's hard to see all that destruction, but when we start working on it, we start to see that because we follow everything happened in Gaza from the beginning. So you know the story, you know what's happened there, you know the people, that's it. Because we are in the Middle East at the end. We are from Syria and Gaza is so close to us. So we know the story from the beginning. So we grown up with a Gaza story. So it's easy to write something to something you see it before. So it was hard for me, but it's not hard to write in something for this kind of visual, especially I covered the Syrian uprising since like 13 years, 14 years. So there's a lot of similarity between Syria, what's happening in Syria, and what happened in Gaza. Yesterday we talking, me and Sami, we're talking about the things that what's happening in Gaza, it's like a shortcut of what's happening in Syria. We take like 14 years, the country is destroyed, and we need a lot of years to rebuild, building our country. And what happened in Gaza, it happened in 1.5 years. Now it's 2 years, but all Gaza is under destruction. So it's hard, but it's easy at the same time. It's hard to, I told you that, about the visual and to see what happened to those people. But it's easy because it's something related to us at the end. So it's easy to write a script for that things. It takes the time because we have a lot of footage coming from Gaza. So we have to choose in from it. And after that, we make it together. And after that, we make a script one by one to this one. Also, sometimes we ask Sami to film some footage, but it's impossible or something happened. And we ask him, okay, stay safe, don't go there, don't do that. So we have a technique to bring this footage to life in our documentary. As you see, we put from social media, we're taking a footage. Also from Sammy's videos and from his friend's videos, and put it together. So it looks like you are inside the room and there is a lot of footage around you. So when you go around, you see the same scene, but from a lot of angles. So that's one of our solution for something happen and we can't film it.
Yeah, I really also appreciated the film, how it's able to go beyond the social media clips and to actually embed ourselves in there and to see a little bit more context, that we've sort of been delivered these images of war through social media, but it gets decontextualized from what's happening there. So just curious to hear from Sami, you're able to be on the ground and to share social media clips and you're transmitting these out, but I'm just curious to hear what it's been like to work on a project that is trying to tell a broader story that goes beyond just the social media to try to share what's happening there.
كثير ناشط ونشيط على السوشيال ميديا وكنت تصور تنزل فيديوهات كثير بس هدول كانوا مقاطع صغيرة فكيف كان أنت كيف كان أنت شغلك رأيك بشغل على مشروع على مشروع طويل أطول من سوشيال ميديا كليب يعني دقيقة أو دقيقتين على مشروع طويل وشو كان ردة فعلك وقت اللي مثلا اقترحوا عليك أنك تشتغل على مشروع طويل كيف كان البروسيس تبعك أنك تشتغل على واحد طويل هيك يعني
اللي خلاني أفكر في هو فارق ما بينك تشتغل للسوشيال ميديا بدقائق قليلة وشغلات ما بدها وقت كتير لأنك تشتغل على مشروع كتير كبير وبياخذ وقت ومجهود وتعب وخصوصاً ما في إنترنت كان في غزة برضو كانت معاناة إنه أنا أوصل المواد لخليل.
It was difficult to transmission from doing social media clips, short ones, to do a broader story, long story, especially at that time. At some point, they lost internet connection, so he couldn't really send any file, upload any files, or like upload any footage for Khalil to see what he was working on. Yeah.
مدى يعني كبر الأحداث والإبادة اللي بتصير بغزة والدمار اللي بيصير بغزة أيقني إنه الأجزاء اللي بصورها على السوشيال ميديا هي شيء قليل ولا تمثل ولا توصل الحقيقة فاخترت أنه أغطي الـ VR بالمشروع الطويل أحاول أنه أغطي جزء كبير ومهما غطيت المشروع كان كبير وطويل مدته لا يغطي إلا جزء قليل من الحقيقة والواقع المأساوي في غزة.
So he realized also that social media, short social media clips doesn't really cover a broader story, doesn't really deliver like a long and good narrative story. So this is why he wanted to subscribe to that project and like do a longer term, a broader story that delivers a good message and covers a lot of aspects in the war of Gaza, although it doesn't really cover the actual reality on the ground in total. Yeah.
وكان الموضوع هو عبارة عن تحدي بخطورة الأحداث والتغطية أنك تختار أنك تغطي هذه الأحداث والموضوع كان تحدي في عبارة أني أوصل المواد لخليل لأني كنت ممكن دقيقة VR ممكن أقعد أرفعها عبر الإنترنت مدة 24 ساعة.
It was a challenge to do the filming itself and go around and film, and it was also a huge challenge to upload the files. 1 minute VR can take about an hour and a half to be uploaded online, so that was a huge challenge that he was facing in Gaza. Yeah.
بالنهاية كنت بحاول إني أترك رسالة طويلة لأني بنسبة 99% كنت بتوقع إنه أنا مش هأطلع من غزة مش هأكون على قيد الحياة.
He wanted to work on this long-term project or like a long project because he wanted to deliver the message of Gaza because he was 99% sure that he would not leave Gaza. He might not be alive during his life in Gaza. So he wanted to leave an impact on the war in Gaza. Yeah.
Yeah, and I guess a question that comes up after watching a piece like this is, what do you hope happens next with this whole situation with Gaza and Palestine? And just curious, like, what are some ideal paths forward for what you would like to see happen?
I don't know if it's hard to, it's really hard question, because what we hope now is to end this war, to be pulled back. But if we thinking about that, where they will back, destroy all the city, there is a thousand of family disappear from this earth. So what I hope is justice to those people. That's it. That's what I hope. Because if we talking about, as I told you, if I talking they back to city, where they will back? So when we talking with Sami, he's now in Egypt, living in Egypt with his family. If the war is end, he can't back. There's no home, no place to back. So I think we hope for justice. That's it.
And if I may, it's a difficult question because we're in a position, again, he was saying, we're in Amsterdam, you know, we're like in a movie festival and we can just go and eat anything. I can, you know, I can go for a walk on the street. I have no issues with that. So for us to say, What do we hope for? Of course, the end of the killing, the end of the genocide, the end of the mass atrocities that is happening, end of the famine, justice for people. But I think this is a question for the people of Gaza. They should be able to determine what should happen, who should be responsible, who should be held responsible, and how do we go on from here. But for the moment, we're just hoping for this to be ending today at this moment. Yeah.
Curious what you hope for in terms of the situation in Gaza and what would you like to see happen?
شو بتتمنى انه يصير بغزة هلا وشو بتتمنى انه شو بتتمنى انك تشوف راح يصير بغزة بالمستقبل؟
للأسف انه انا اللي بتمنى هي شغلات هي طبيعية هي الحقوق الطبيعية للإنسان. يعني بتمنى انه الناس تحصل على حقها بالحياة وحقها بالطعام وحق الطفولة وحق التعليم. هي اشياء المفروض ما تكون تمنيات, هذه اشياء طبيعية لأي إنسان.
Unfortunately, what I'm wishing for is something that is taken for granted by the majority of the world population. Nobody should be wishing for them, which is like the right to live, the right to educate, the right to eat, etc. Like this is like the basic core human rights that nobody should be wishing for nowadays. Yeah.
حزين لما بكون تمنياتنا هي أشياء أساسية. إنه بتمنى أشوف القانون الدولي وحقوق الإنسان والمنظمات الدولية بتشوف شغلها وحقوق المرأة في كل الإبادات اللي صارت بغزة. بتمنى العدل والسلام يدوم بغزة, لأنه غزة وشعبها ناس بتحب الحياة وناس من حقها تعيش وناس من حقها تكون زي أي بشر بالعالم.
It's sad that we are in a day that we wish for basic human rights to be met. I wish for justice for the Gazans, and I wish for all of the human rights groups, all of the international organizations, all of the international law institutions to be able to deliver justice to the people of Gaza. The people of Gaza are lively, they love life, they want to live, and they deserve to have a better future.
آخر تمني بتمنى برضو هي أهم شغلة للإنسان الغزاوي يناله حق حرية التنقل لأنه أنا حد من غزة أنا قعد في غزة 27 سنة ما قدرت أطلع بسبب الحصار الإسرائيلي اللي ديمت حياته موجود على غزة فبتمنى الناس تقدر تسافر تلف العالم زي أي بشر طبيعيين ياخدوا حرية التنقل بس.
My last wish, and this is specifically for the Gazans, is for them to be able to move freely. He lived in Gaza for 27 years. He couldn't leave. Nobody in Gaza can leave. It's very difficult for them to move around. I want the Gazans to be able to travel and go see the world and see how people are living outside of Gaza. This is a very simple wish, and it's a very simple ask that the Gazans don't have nowadays. They are locked in that little piece of land.
And finally, just curious to hear each of your thoughts around the potential of this type of immersive storytelling and what it might be able to enable as we move forward. So as we look at VR and 360 video and immersive storytelling, where do you hope that might go into the future for what that might be able to enable?
What I hope for, I think this is the future. It takes time, but I think in the future we will rely on these things. We will rely on VR and AR. It will take time. And thank God we start our company in this kind of production because I think we are in a good way industrially.
Awesome.
Yeah, what I'm hoping for is, as Khalil was saying, this is going to be the future. I'm hoping for more awareness. And I'm hoping for all of the big platform like Facebook, for example, is investing a lot of money. Apple is investing a lot of money for them to make it more affordable, to make it more reachable for the ordinary people just to get like one of the headsets and see, because this is a really transformative way of delivering any story. It's something that puts you in the middle of it, in the heart of it. You actually disconnect from the whole world when you wear the headset. So this is definitely the future. I think it's going to be a big deal in the future. And I think it will become more affordable. It will become easier to reach for a wider population. This is my hope for it to be easy to reach. Yeah.
And for Sammy, just what he sees as where virtual reality and this type of 360 video, what he hopes for what it might be able to enable or what the potentials of that are.
شو بتتوقع بيكون المستقبل هذا النوع من الصحافة ال VR وال 360 وال AR وشو بيكون أملك إنه يكون فيها هذا النوع من الصحافة بالمستقبل؟
بتوقع المستقبل يكون بنسبة كبيرة لهذه الصحافة خصوصا إنه هذه تعطيك ميزة إنه أنت بتنقل الحقيقة 100% بدون مجال إنك تعدل أو تضيف شغلة أو تسيب مجال للتعديل أو للتمثيل في الأحداث هذه.
He's saying he's hoping for immersive journalism to be the future of journalism because it gives you the opportunity to cover and deliver a message and like a full factual story without editing, without any claims of this is not what's happening on the ground.
بتمنى هذا تصير منتشرة في كل مناطق العالم لتمنع الكذب ولتنشر ليكون نقل الحقيقة نقل الأحداث بحقيقتها ولمنع التضليل من أي ناس بالعالم أو من أي صحافة بالعالم وعدم استغلال الصحافة لروايات أخرى وتكذيب وتضليل.
I hope it will be the future and it will be more spread and people can see it more because it's actually quite factual journalism and it will minimize all of the mis and disinformation campaigns that we're seeing all over the world about what's happening on the ground in Gaza and in other places.
Awesome. Well, really appreciated having a chance to see the film. Is it going to be made available for people to see online or is it already published online? Or?
It's early, I think, to publish online. We have maps to go through it and after that maybe it will be online.
Yeah, there's part of me that wants everyone in the world to see the film, so I wanted to get it out there. But there's usually a film festival circuit and other ways that you're getting it out there. It sounds like going the kind of normal festival route. But yeah, I'm looking forward for more folks to have a chance to watch the piece. It's really powerful, bearing witness to what's happening there. And yeah, just I think a real demonstration of the power of the medium to take people to a place to share what's happening. So yeah, thanks again for joining me here on the podcast and help bring it all down.
Thank you. Thank you for your time also.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's all that we have for today. And I just wanted to thank you for listening to the Voices of VR podcast. If you enjoyed the podcast, then please do spread the word, tell your friends, and consider becoming a member of the Patreon. This is a listener-supported podcast, so I do rely upon donations from people like yourself in order to continue to bring you this coverage. You can become a member and donate today at patreon.com/voicesofvr. Thanks for listening.